Joining me on the September edition of Our Town is Toby Neal. She is a, from what I can see, I've got one of her books here, but a prolific author, pretty much. You've got a lot of folks beat by the amount of stuff you go into. And I notice some of the different things and themes, like Hawaii being a character itself in some of your stories there. Welcome. How are you doing?
Really good. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And most of all, I'm very excited to be speaking at the Florence Festival of Books coming up September 27th.
So you grew up in Kauai. Is that correct?
I did. Yes. Yes. I was a child of hippie surfers who went to the island looking for the perfect wave that was uncrowded back in the early 70s. So I'm a child of that era, and my memoir Freckled talks about those wild years.
So you'd mentioned being wild and free. What was it, you know, as a young child growing up in there? I imagine as you look back now, you might see things a little differently than when you were in it. So what were some of the things that you remember about that that kind of broadened your perspective on wanting to write and on wanting to kind of turn that into a career?
You know, I was one of those kids who always wanted to tell stories. And visually, I also drew pictures. So I think I did learn to read at about four. I was not in school a lot because, again, the wild childhood thing. But I think I want to back up a little bit and say that I've had a very interesting career. First, it began in escaping off of Kauai is how I thought of it, to go on to college. And the story of age 4 to 18 and my journey to try to get myself to college from that really unconventional background is what's covered in Freckled, my first memoir. But that was by far not my first book, although it is one of my best known books. I write the Paradise Crime world. So it's actually a world of books set in Hawaii that consists of cozy mysteries, a cozy mystery series with a 6 foot former Secret Service agent turned postmaster on the island of Maui. And then there's a thriller series with Sophie set in Oahu, and then a mystery series that's more of a police procedural with Lei set on primarily on Maui. So these are, I basically began writing the books that I wanted to read about Hawaii that told an entertaining story that were from an insider's point of view. And my memoir came along about 10 years into that process.
So when you write now, I mean, I'm not prolific like you, but I do like to write. How do you write your stories? Do you write your stories as an observer who's wanting to see what happens next? Or do you have a full outline and a full progression of where the story's going before you write it?
You know, if you're writing a mystery, any form of mystery, you really have to have an outline because there's some kind of problem, whether the problem is, like in my Christmas cozy, a missing heritage Christmas ornament or a dead body, which is what it usually starts with in the crime mysteries. You have to have certain things in every book. You know, there's the morgue scene, there's the team meeting with all the cops, there's the investigation of the body or the crime. So early on, as an inexperienced writer, I try to do what they call pantsing, and you just make it up as you go. That does not work well with the genre of mystery. It kind of can work better with maybe something more literary or something that's kind of more of even a women's fiction, you know, that's kind of more meandering. With these books, they're tightly plotted. And so there's going to be your red herrings and your people who it seems like it was them. And, you know, all of that has to be planned. But the fun is in the last third where I don't plot. So I set up the whole story. I have some idea of where I'm going. And then at about three quarters of the way in, I leave the outline behind and I let the characters drive the action. And often the twist at the end, which is what readers really live for, that is unexpected even for me. And so the process stays fresh because there's that element of surprise.
So you do a little bit of both then. You take the character to a certain spot and then you just kind of like let him go and figure it out. That's pretty exciting. That sounds like a great way to do that because you have that character arc there where it's like, you know, if you already know what the character is going to do, then it's kind of, then probably your reader does too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like color by number. There's no fun in that, you know? And the whole thing about readers of mystery, I like to believe and I know are intelligent people. They're people who love puzzles. They're people who love figuring things out. They love being surprised. And so I would cheat them of that with something too formulaic. So I really try to add layers. There's usually two or three layers of plot in my books. And you know, like a subplot that is like a personal thing with the main character. Because the other part that we haven't mentioned is that I had a career as a mental health therapist.
I was going to ask you about that.
Do some. Yes. So
I was going to say, how does that work into your writing?
The study of criminal behavior and deviant minds is fascinating, and the reasons why people do what they do. I think that that's why we love cop shows and we love murder mysteries, because we are intrigued. We're trying to spot the danger before it gets us, right? And so as a therapist working with people, the reasons that they, you know, many of my clients are not criminals. They're just regular folks struggling with depression or anxiety or a change in life circumstances, et cetera. But all of us, I believe, have the capacity to take drastic action should we be forced to. And what are those drivers, you know, and how are they different for each person? So those are the questions that where my mental health background comes into writing a good mystery. And I think that it's made my my main characters particularly rich because they start at one part in their journey. For instance, Lei, the heroine who kicked it all off. And all of my characters are, my main characters are women because I think they're underrepresented in the mystery and thriller genre. And I wanted to show in a woman's life who has been sexually abused as a child, how you can get well from that tremendous trauma through three things. Your job, and she's a cop, a good relationship. She has an amazing, you know, relationship that develops in the first book and goes throughout the whole 17 book series. And therapy. So I also include a police psychologist who was working with her on the issues and helping her understand how her drive to solve the crime is really about her drive to heal herself and find justice for her own self.
How much of each of those characters is in you? How much did you with?
Well, people always ask that. They always ask that. So I've certainly, if you read my memoir, been exposed to some of the darker sides of life. But I was not an active, you know, I didn't have tremendous abuse, but I was certainly exposed to various different things, enough to make me want to be part of the solution rather than perpetuating those same wounds through, you know, alcohol and drug abuse, which was quite a theme in the, you know, in that culture of the time that I was growing up.
How scary was it to bring in other authors, other writers in your crime world, your lay crime world kind of thing? Was that hard for you to do?
You know, so that's an interesting question. I have opened, so my world, quote, it was opened by Amazon to, you know, basically licensed fan fiction. So other authors could write books in my world. And I worked with them closely to make sure they met the canon, you know, the original books. And then eventually Amazon ended that program. We parted ways. They were able to rewrite their stories without my characters in them. And several of them, I continued to have partnerships and co-authoring relationships with different writers who wanted to, and I'm still open to that today, because basically my readers are hungry for these books and I can't keep up with the demand. So it's a great way to expand that. And I just have always been an inclusive person, you know, who enjoys working with others. So that's been a win for me.
A couple of the authors that I have some familiarity with that I've either interviewed or know personally is Lee Child and Blake Crouch. I don't know if you're familiar with both of them, but they have
Fantastic.
Gotten to the point. What now? Lee has, of course, brought his brother into in order to continue the Jack Reacher series. But both those authors have found a future in television and in movies. Are your books? Are there people that are going, hey, we want to talk to you about this? Is that something that could be happening?
I have readers approach, I swear, every day they reach out to me. And when are we going to see Lay on the big screen? Or when are we going to see, and I think that I do have a film and TV agent. I do have a traditional literary agent as well, although most of my works are self-published. And that's part of my story that's unique, is how to be a six-figure author in self-publishing. It's very much a different kind of business model than the traditional publishing route. So I have a lot to say and share on that for those interested. But circling back to the idea of film and TV, I'm just waiting for my number to be called. And I hope it's a matter of time.
So when you're finished with your manuscript, the first run of it, I imagine, I probably wouldn't call it a rough draft, because you probably went through it a few times before you're ready to hand it off to an editor. What is that situation like there? Is that nerve-wracking for you to hand that off to somebody else?
Well, how funny you should ask that, because today is book launch day for Tiki Beach, number 6 in the Cozy Mystery series. And you know what? I have over 60 books in my library. And that first day when the book is out and the reviews are starting to roll in, it's always a little nerve-wracking. And I am pretty, hardened, because you do have to get a thick skin. Any writer who's going to stay in the trenches for any length of time past their first book has got to get a thick skin, because there's always going to be someone who doesn't like it, but it does get easier. And as you build a loyal following, as I'm sure Lee Child could tell you, there are hungry readers who will just happily read, even if he didn't edit at all, and he wrote a 200,000 word book that totally needed to get taken out to the woodshed. They would happily read it. So you do build a certain level of loyalty with readers. And I'm known as very accessible and available to my readers. I have almost 5,500 fan group on Facebook where I interact almost daily. We do lots of giveaways and fun things. And that piece of it does get easier with time. Because you just got that experience. Also the process of writing the book, we call it the muddling middle. When you get to you start with a head of steam and an idea, and then by the middle, you're just slogging through the scenes like, I don't know. Oh, well, this is terrible. Every writer, no matter how experienced, goes through self-doubt. And you're asking me about those last stages. By the last stages, I'm really on to the next book. That's how I handle it. I just go on to the next one. And because I've built a world, I did that very deliberately with interlocking characters. That was as much for me as for my readers, so that I could, like this year I did a police procedural at the beginning of the year. And now I just did a cozy that's coming out today. And then in the fall, I'll do a thriller. And they're all in long running series. And I just go around, and that keeps my interest fresh in the characters, so I can switch genres slightly and write different books within the same world.
Which keeps you from having to reinvent a character every time you do
exactly.
a story.
It's exhausting. Standalones are rough. I actually did one last year that is more literary, and I wrote it on my Substack. So that's worth mentioning for readers who are not familiar with my books, but just want to take a look at something in progress. I have an ongoing newsletter on a platform called Substack, where you can subscribe to a fresh book and they're being written at the time. And last year I wrote a really exciting standalone book called Wild Girl. It was actually inspired by my life growing up in the jungle. And it it's kind of like a Where the Crawdads Sing, but set in Hawaii. And it's about a woman who's never been in society. She was stolen as a baby and raised by this mentally ill woman in the jungle on the Big Island, never entered society, never went to school, and a crime happens in the valley. And then this detective comes and you have this very kind of dual timeline. And if anybody has read Where the Crawdads Sing, I think it's a major literary work that I just adore. And it's so I was inspired by that idea. So I wrote this standalone. Fortunately, my readers supported it all along the way with, as I put chapters in each week. It took me over a year to write just the one book while I was keeping up with my other stuff, because that's the other thing they don't tell you about self-publishing. It is a grind. You are working all the time. But anyway, that book is now going to be with my agent and shopping for a traditional deal, because I want to enter that field with an extraordinary work. You know, and know that I'm still capable of that, even at this stage in my writing career.
It's just someone who has that tenacity and integrity to keep on going. I really applaud that very much. So, yeah. So the Florence Festival of Books is coming up. You're going to have a Q&A as well for that, right? So you've probably done this before. What are some of the most common questions you get from potential writers or wannabe writers out there when you talk to them?
So wannabe writers often want to know, how did I end up publishing myself, you know, and what was my decision tree around that? And I have a kind of neat story, and the story is basically, like everyone, I tried super hard back in 2010 to get an agent with my first book, which was Blood Orchids, the one, the police procedural I mentioned, starring Lay. You're holding it up. Yep. So Blood Orchids, it took me 3 years to write the first book, to write that book. Again, a newbie author going through all the learning curve, going through all the layers of editing, two full professional edits, seeking an agent, finally got an agent. She was wonderful. She was a big name. She wanted a rewrite. Okay, I'll do another rewrite. So we got that all spiffed out. We sent it out. We shopped it. They call it shopping it for 6 months. But the publishing market was just tanking in 2010. And meanwhile, we had the idea to do a trilogy. So I had gotten started busily writing the next book, which is my coping strategy. We just go on to the next one. We don't get hung up on the first one. That's, if you're going to be serious about being an author, that's the way to go. So you ask Stephen King, he is always just on the next book, doesn't even look back. So anyway, by the time she basically decided to retire, my book had been out long enough that people were saying, this is really good. If the market was different, I would totally take this. This writer has a great voice, but you know, we're just not basically selling anything but celebrity cookbooks right now. And so she decided to retire, and it had taken so long to get an agent in the first place that I decided to just go ahead and self-publish, because I was frustrated with the process. That turned out to be a better fit for me, because I'm a prolific writer. And I think I would have been frustrated with the timelines of traditional publishing.
So
that's what they want to know, is like, how did I end up self-publishing, and should I try for an agent? And I can't answer that for you. I believe the process of striving for an agent made my book Just as good as something you're going to buy from Lee Child, you know, and all the edits and all the work that went into it. And then I also invested a lot of money. I had a little inheritance for my grandma at the time. I bought a top end designer cover. I paid for a PR company to launch me, and I launched my books in a way that they got momentum right away. And so within 3 months, I had made back my investment. And then I was on my way to what has become a six-figure career for more than 10 years. So yes, I have to keep it up if I ever stop. We are rapidly dwindling into disappearance because the marketplace is glutted. So it is quite a hamster wheel. And I share that with other writers. It's like, it just really depends on your goal for your book. And when I coach authors, and I do some limited amount of coaching because my time is limited, but I do some, I really investigate that. What is your dream for your book? Is there only one? Is there multiple? Do you want to switch careers? Like, what are you hoping for with this? And when we answer that, then we can pick a path, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. And that's amazing. I mean, I would love to do what you do. Of course, I'm very, very busy with everything else I do. But, you know, my issue's always been going back and rereading and saying, well, this could be better here. That's usually what I get stuck at.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's a fun process. I do enjoy that. So.
It sure is. And again, I would say to you, it's important that you partner with a really good editor that you trust. Mm-hmm. And when you get frustrated and you get stuck, shoot that work over to them and then just fix it. You know, don't let anything stop you. Momentum is really important.
September 27th is the Florence Festival of Books. You're going to be the keynote speaker. Look forward to seeing you in person when you get there. And just, I hope that you... enjoy your time while you're here.
I'm excited about it. And for my readers who are familiar with me and have always wanted a signed book, I have so many. I've gone ahead and ordered at least a few from every single title. So they will be there and I'll be there to sign them. And I'd love to meet you in person.
Well, thank you so much for your time and looking forward to that. It's going to be a great event. It always is. And just from talking to you this limited amount of time, I can see that you're going to be a crowd favorite for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Great to meet you, George.
Coming up next, Mike Miller talks retirement from Public Works. We'll do that on this edition of Our Town.